This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. So here's what we have coming up this hour. We're going to talk about everything from Neville Chamberlain to rhinos. How do we get rid of them? Unmasking ICE agents, Tex-Mex, Taco Bell, the Ilhan Omar attack. Was it fake? All that and more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show this hour. Let's get to this one. Jesse, I look forward to your show every day. I never related the Democrat behavior to communism until I listened to your show. You opened my naive eyes. Thank you. Oh, and what's this surprise you've been talking about? I will tell you Monday. Monday, it's coming. I'm not going to leave you hanging any longer. On Monday, I'm sending it to you. JesseKelly.com. Go put in your email address. I can't stress enough. I am not going to send you the 10% off this week. It's not that. Also, yes, Chris, stop sending us emails telling us to sign you up. That's not the way the computer system works. JesseKelly.com. It's big and bright. Your email address just gets put in, and we're going to send you something. Stop asking for us to put in your email address. Please stop sending Jewish producer Chris your email address. JesseKelly.com. I am not trying to scam you. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not trying to sign you up, like I said, for our special insider club. You get 50% off your first month. It's nothing like that at all. JesseKelly.com. I'm going to send you something. And I think you're going to like it. I am pretty sure that China is not going to like it. And in a way, that bums me out because, you know, I'm a history freak. China has so much insanely cool history, but I already can't ever visit China because I've made them angry before. The Chinese state media has put out articles basically calling me the Antichrist and stuff like that. So I have to assume if I ever went to China that I would be arrested, which is a huge bummer because I watched James Bond go to Macau and he did some kind of gambling with these big squares and I don't know what any of that was. But now I want to go to Macau because they had these big lizards that were in the casino and it looked really... What, Chris? It looked exotic. What? You know, that's a very good point, Chris. Chris said I probably wouldn't get arrested because I would blend in so well. James Bond blended in too. That's a good point. I didn't consider that. Anyway, I already can't visit Macau. I don't even really know anything else about it except I saw it in a James Bond movie and it's in China. After this comes out on Monday, there's no way I'm going to be able to visit. I mean, absolutely no way. I will die one day. Who knows? Without ever seeing the Great Wall. I'm going to see the Great Wall. I want to see some China stuff. Jesse, the Dems want ICE agents to provide identification. Does anyone know the danger these people are in already? All right. Let's talk. Just quickly here. Let's talk. Does anyone know the danger? That's why they want them unmasked. Mao, speaking of China, Mao has a quote. It's a great quote because it's so true. All political power comes from the barrel of a gun. In the end, there's force behind all of it, right? You
You can get a speeding ticket. You can choose to not pay it. Eventually, the government is going to use force on you because you didn't pay it. They're going to throw you in a cage for not paying your speeding ticket. That's how it works. That's how societies work. It's all force in the end. Communists, because they always operate as if they are a guerrilla force, they're the revolution. They're always rebelling against the established order. They have always used violence and terror as part of how they politic. Remember when I talked about, I think it was this last week, maybe whatever. I talked about the Cheka. You know who the Cheka was? Cheka was really the first secret state police, the first KGB. You would know them as a KGB. Before they became the NKVD and other things, they were the Cheka. They were known as the Cheka. They were the communist demon secret state police guys who would go pull your fingernails out and shoot you in the back of the head, do all the stuff that Russian secret state police did. The first head of the Cheka has a quote. Another great quote. Came right out and said it. Quote, "We believe in organized terror." Let me say it again. "We believe in organized terror." Democrat politicians and media people who talk about unmasking ICE agents, that prompts normal people like you to say, don't they understand? Those agents will then be threatened. They know. That's the idea. They want agents, they want ICE agents afraid. They want them hurt. They want them murdered. They want their families threatened because they view these things as necessary to protect the communist revolution. That's why they want the masks off. And of course, they have to lie about those reasons. Well, it's like the Gestapo and things. But that's not why. And they all know it. When you scream at these Democrats, but if they take the masks off, someone's going to hurt them. That would be like telling the lion, if you eat the gazelle, it's going to taste good. They know. That's why they do it. That's it. You shouldn't have mail-in ballots, Democrats. That makes it easier to cheat in elections. Yeah. They know. That's the idea. Well, you should have everyone show a voter ID, otherwise foreigners are going to vote in elections. Yeah, that's the idea. Of course, they try to sell their horrible, nefarious plan. Well, black people can't get ID, which is one of the funniest things in the world, as if black people don't know how to walk in the DMV. That's ridiculous, but they're always selling it. But underneath it all is violence, the threat of violence. Remember Jayapal? Remember?
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting us strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases and as our own understanding of what's happening increases. So overall, the more we understand what's effective, what the risks are, and who's ready to participate, the more impact we can have.
What is that? That's encouraging violence. That's what that is. That is charging right up to the legal line. As a elected representative, is she knows exactly where that legal line is, so she has to be very careful with how she uses her words, but that is obviously a call for violence. Why are you even talking about risk tolerance and strike ready and street ready? Why?
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting us strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases and as our own understanding of what's happening increases. So overall, the more we understand what's effective, what the risks are, and who's ready to participate, the more impact we can have.
They believe in violence to achieve political goals. Here's a nurse.
Get on Tinder, get on Hinge, find these guys. If they're an ICE agent, bring some X-lax and put it in their drinks. Get them sick. Easily deniable. Somebody's not going to be supporting these guys. Where's the hotel where they eat? Who makes that breakfast? Let's find them. Okay, for today's resistance tip, anybody got any poison ivy, poison oak? Get some of that up with gloves, obviously. Get it in some water. And I'm going to put it into a water gun. Aim for faces. Sabotage tactic, or at least scare tactic. All the medical providers, grab some syringes. Have them full of saline or succinylcholine. You know, whatever.
Violence for you when it comes to political violence is something you're afraid of, something you don't want for your country. I'm the exact same way. It's a terrible thing. For a communist, it's just simply built in. It's necessary. We believe in organized terror. All right? All right. Let's talk World War II real quick. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at Jesse Kelly Show. Speaking of reeling in the East, let's talk about how the Nazis did in World War II. Ha ha! Chris, that was a dad joke, a reference to the Nazis when they went into the Soviet Union and it ended up ruining. Anyway, Jesse, what's your historical opinion of Neville Chamberlain and the work he did with Hitler for Britain and France during World War II? I have my own opinion of his antics during World War II, but just wondering what's yours. He seemed to have done a lot of capitulation with Hitler that could have been detrimental to Britain. Says I can use his name. His name is Albert. All right. You are probably going to be surprised by this, but I understand Neville Chamberlain, and I have a little bit of sympathy for Neville Chamberlain. Here's why. You and I, you know what we love? Heroes, bravery, acts of valor. Everybody loves the story of the Alamo, where a bunch of brave Americans stood hopelessly outnumbered against the Mexican army and died to the last man. We love that. We love the Spartan 300 at Thermopylae, taking on the whole Persian army, held them out for 3 days, died to the last man. We love that. You know what doesn't get movies made about it? And you're not going to grow up admiring it, and I'm not going to grow up admiring it. The king who makes an agreement with a more powerful empire. He essentially becomes a vassal state of the more powerful empire and saves the lives of every person in his kingdom. No one writes movies about that guy. Nobody does. No one does. The Mongols came into our city, and you know what I did? I told Genghis Khan, I think he's a great guy, and we're going to work with him from now on. No one cares about that guy. No one reads books about that guy. No, but is that guy wrong every time? If Genghis Khan tells me I'm the king of Houston, and Genghis Khan and his Mongolian hordes surround Houston, and they tell me I can submit to the Khan, I will pay him taxes, I'm going to have to give him troops whenever he asks for them, or he's going to kill every single man, woman, child, and pet in the city and wipe out everyone's bloodline for the rest of mankind. Am I the bad guy if I say, yeah, I'll pay taxes. I'm fine with that. I know you're not going to admire me. I know that. You're not going to tell your children about me. I will not be a legend. I'll be quickly forgotten. Or maybe even history. Maybe history will look down on me. He could have stood up to Genghis Khan. But your children lived. And their children after them. In fact,
lived quite safe in the Mongolian Empire. Am I always the bad guy? Neville Chamberlain is famous. He's famous for trying to strike a diplomatic deal with Adolf Hitler that would calm him down and keep his insatiable appetite in check. And he thought he had done that. Looking back on that, with the benefit of hindsight, like you have and I have, he looks like an idiot and a chump. How could you ever make a deal with a monster like Hitler with the Holocaust and the invasion? How could you? But the Holocaust had not happened. The invasion of the Soviet Union had not happened. The Battle of Britain had not happened yet. I know about all that stuff. You know about all that stuff. Neville Chamberlain did not. We like Churchill. I like Churchill. You like Churchill. We will fight you on the beaches. We will never surrender. I admire that kind of guy more than I would ever admire a guy like Neville Chamberlain. However, is it fair that all of history now is essentially what an incompetent, weak, pathetic boob Neville Chamberlain is? Isn't that a little, and I hate using this term, isn't that a little unfair? He got a wrong read on Hitler. He was wrong about who and what he was dealing with. He was wrong. I admit that. Does he deserve to be maligned by all of human history because Hitler turned out to be the devil himself? What, Chris? Chris said they're a little hard on him, but he did get the one thing wrong that mattered. What? What? Oh, just the capitulation of Hitler. Yeah, obviously, that looks bad now. What? Now, let me ask you this. You're Neville Chamberlain. You believe Hitler. Okay, you're naive. You're wrong. What if that peace in our time thing, he walks down the stairs. Everyone's seen the video by now. He's waving the piece of paper. Peace in our time. What if that turned out to be true? No invasion of the Soviet Union. 20 million Russians dead. No Holocaust. That's 6 million Jews. No this. No that. No. None of that happens because Neville Chamberlain strikes a good deal with Adolf Hitler. Hitler does a little conquering, but mostly keeps to himself, gets Germany back on its feet, and churn it. Obviously, that's not how it worked out. And now Neville Chamberlain will always have that. I think that's a little unfair. They don't make movies about the world leader who capitulates. I realize that. They don't make movies about the guy who strikes a diplomatic deal for peace. I know that's the case. I got it completely. I got it. But I think it's a little unfair. And I'm not a Neville Chamberlain guy. When I look at World War II, though, I don't look at Neville Chamberlain as this horrible, horrendous, bad guy, irredeemable. I know he was a weakling. I know he was stupid. But that's like every politician. Well, not everyone, but that's almost every friggin' politician. All right? All right. We got more. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I'm having such a great day. Row, row, row your Bronco. Quick update about the rowing machine. I want a rowing machine badly. I have been online shopping for rowing machines the past 2 days, okay? I'm getting a lot of pushback at the house from Ob. Ob is insisting that the rowing machine is a dumb idea. She says it's going to hurt my knee even worse. She says also that I won't use it, which is a little bit ridiculous because I use the other stuff, but she swears I won't use it. I'm getting so much pushback at the house that I'm hesitant to spend the money. And speaking of the money, Remember, I told you I wanted to spend $500. Remember what else I told you? This is something terrible about me that I wish I could change. There is a cheapness in me. Not in dealing with other people. I'm a good tipper and all that. It's not that. It's not that. I'm always trying to save money on things. I try to save money. Shut up, Chris. I try to save money. I'm looking for sales and discounts. That's how I was raised. When we went on vacation one time as a family, we weren't allowed to eat out. We went to the grocery store and we got cold cuts to make sandwiches in the room to save money. I'm my father's son, okay? I told you I wanted to spend $500 on a rowing machine. Ever since I brought up the stupid rowing machine, people were sending me links. You got to buy this one. You got to buy that one. It's $1,500, $1,800. I don't want to spend that. I want to spend $500. I know if I spend $500 on the rowing machine, I will hate myself for it. It will break. It'll be a piece of crap. It's going to be garbage. I know it will. I know it. And I still want to do it to save money. What, Chris? Chris said there are $100 and $200 rowing machines. Chris, we've been doing radio together for 7 years, and you still do not understand that you get what you pay for in life, buddy. You get what you pay for. A $100 rowing machine is going to be the cheapest piece of Chinese-made crap. It's going to be garbage. It's going to fall apart, and I'll end up with a piece of metal up my rear end or something. It's going to be a disaster. So why would I do that? Why would I do that? You're pushing me the other direction, Chris. I need to buy the nicer one. And I don't want to do it. Anyway, Jesse, your bumper keeps saying get the cure for rhinos, yet Lindsey Graham and James Lankford haven't gone anywhere. When do we get the cure and how do I get a prescription? Well, speaking of rowing machines, how do you stop being fat? Maybe you're fat right now. I told you 2025 for me was a bad year. I got some blood work coming up and it's going to be bad. I'm going to have to keep that out of Bob's hands or I'm never going to eat another meal. It's going to be bad. So I'm not pointing fingers, but maybe you're fat. Maybe you've been fat. How do you get skinny? How do you lose weight? Oh, I know. I'm well aware you can take a shot. I got that. But what's the real way to get lastingly thinner and in better shape? Diet and exercise, of course. They can come up with every new thing out there that's never going to change. 1,000 years from now, the way to get in better shape and lose weight is going to be diet and exercise. Always has been, always will be. They'll probably even have rowing machines. That's another story. Diet and exercise. But what's the problem with diet and exercise? It takes time. I'm delaying my blood work as long as possible because you can't have a year of eating cheese sticks every meal and then take a week of eating healthy and have good blood work. That's not how it works. You want to get rid of James Lankford in Oklahoma. You want to get rid of him now because you know he's a worthless ginger eunuch. And of course, you're right about that. But it takes time. United States senators are powerful. They raise large quantities of money. Why do they raise that money? What do they use it for? They spend a huge portion of that money going after the eyes and the ears of the normie Republican voters in their states. James Lankford will raise a ton of money, and he will tell good people in Oklahoma who vote Republican, he will run campaign ads when it's primary season telling all of them how conservative he is. And I bet you he'll even do ads. I stand with Donald Trump. I know for a fact, because I get Oklahoma people emailing in, that James Lankford does the church tour thing in Oklahoma, going after those evangelicals. Look at me. I'm one of you. I love Jesus. Vote James Lankford. And if you are somebody who's low info, if you're a normie, you can be seduced by that. No, I saw a TV ad. He said he votes with Trump. No. James Lankford? He was in my church on Sunday. I saw him talking to my pastor. He shook my hand. He was so sweet. And then, like an idiot loser, you go vote for him in the primary. He goes right back to D.C. and tries to pass amnesty again. It's hard to primary a senator. You need one candidate, not five, like they always do. One who already has name ID. You can't come from nowhere and run for United States Senate. You need one guy. One guy who people know. That guy also has to have the ability to raise money, a significant amount of money. He doesn't have to outraise the sitting senator. That's not realistic. He has to raise enough money to also be on the TV commercials, also mail things out, hire campaign staffers. And those guys don't grow on trees. You can't magically just make one appear. It takes time. Texas may very well bounce that loser John Cornyn in the upcoming primary, but we got a wonderful mix of all those things. Ken Paxton is the attorney general in Texas. He is well known. Ken Paxton, because he's already run for statewide office, is going to raise good money, is raising good money. He won't outraise John Cornyn, but he's one guy raising good money, well known. We got that magic little mix. It's not fast to get rid of rhinos. You can take a shot if you're too fat. That's not going to last forever. Diet and exercise takes time. Speaking of which, let's talk about Taco Bell. Was that attack on Ilhan Omar fake? Someone wants to talk about me being the coxswain of the rowing team and more. Now, sadly, you can't use ZipRecruiter to replace your politician. You just can't. If you could, the country would be better off like tomorrow. But you can't. ZipRecruiter, it's fast. I would dare say it's instant. You're an employer. You don't have 8 hours a day to go hunt for the new employee you need. You need someone to do it for you. Almost like a, what if you had a hiring manager? But you don't. Consider ZipRecruiter your hiring manager. You don't waste time. You don't waste money. Four out of five employers, find somebody good the first day because they use matching technology and they basically hand them to you right away. Don't take my word for it. You can try it free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, churning and burning through all the freaking questions today. I'm just having the best day. Don Lemon got arrested.
Make no mistake, under President Trump's leadership and this administration, you have the right to worship freely and safely. And if I haven't been clear already, if you violate that sacred right, we are coming after you.
That's just beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dr. Jesse, with all the great Tex-Mex places in your area, why do you go to Taco Bell? That's like going to Pizza Hut in New York City. Okay, says I can say his name. His name is Joe. That's very fair. Why go to Taco Bell when there's all these Tex-Mex places? All right. Put it to you this way. I'm white trash. And let me explain. I did not grow up fancy. We are not fancy people at all. I actually had dinner with my mom last night. We all went out to pizza after the show. And at one point in time when I was a kid, we lived in this, we lived in many different places, but we lived in this wee little tiny condo. And my mom was talking about how it had black mold in it. She got terrible pneumonia. She almost died. It was just, look, don't get me wrong. I wasn't starving. I don't want to act like I was starving or something like that. My parents always provided, but we were just very basic people. People think I joke about Red Lobster like it was a bit. We did not have a Red Lobster in my town. There was a Red Lobster 2 hours away, and we almost never ate out. There was a Red Lobster in Billings, Montana. I don't even know if it's still there. If we ever had to go to Billings for something 2 hours away, we would eat at Red Lobster. And you can't even imagine what a treat that was for me. I love it. Love it. It was special to me. Now, I'd make jokes, obviously, but I, because of what I do now, yeah, I get to eat at fancy places. I'm not denying that at all, especially when I go and meet with the suits somewhere. If I have to go to New York City or Nashville or Chicago or Los Angeles, yeah, it's a fancy steakhouse with ribeyes and all the, oh yeah, all that fancy stuff that normal people get to do once a year if they're lucky, right? I'm not denying that at all. But I don't want that all the time. Oftentimes, I want to eat what I wanted to eat for most of my life, or what was good to me for most of my life. I try now, for health reasons, not to eat much fast food anymore. I'll destroy McDonald's like that. Jack in the Box might be my favorite fast food restaurant in the United States of America. Quit shaking your head, Chris. Jack in the Box is elite level fast food. Their breakfast, top notch, and most people don't even know about it. Yeah, we have nice Tex-Mex around here, and yeah, we go out to that. I'll run into people there who know me, who listen to the show. We go out to a nice sizzling fajita place where you get good stuff. It's not like I don't do that. I do do that. I don't want that all the time. Sometimes I want rat meat. Sometimes I want a Nachos Bel Grande at Taco Bell where I can feel bad about myself afterwards. And I don't know what that is. And I don't know why that is. I assume it's just because that's how I grew up. That's me. And you know something else? This is going to be pathetic and you're going to make fun of me. And I know you're going to make fun of me, but it's okay. Do you know what I used to think about when I was younger a lot, especially when I was a kid? Tell me this is not the most embarrassing thing ever. You know my wealth goal when I was a kid, what I wanted? I never wanted a mansion or a pool or a Lamborghini or some other private jet. You know what I wanted? I would daydream about being able to eat whatever I wanted whenever I wanted. For me, I'm not exaggerating. For me, that was a reoccurring daydream I would have. That was wealth for me. I told you, I buy a meal for the fellas and myself every day here at the studio. We order something, whatever it may be, something every day. I know they appreciate it. Thank you, Chris. They appreciate it, but that's a life dream for me. Isn't that embarrassing? That's a life dream for me. We were actually just discussing it during the break. What are we going to get today? Is it going to be pizza or sandwiches or something? And I don't know what we're going to get, but I get to get, not just for me, for the fellas, whatever we want every day. That for me has always been my entire life. That was my wealth goal. And I know that's pathetic. I know it should be 401ks and stuff. I understand that. I get all that. I don't know why. But that was always it for me. I want to be able to eat whatever I want, whenever I want. And sometimes that's Taco Bell. That is what it is. Sometimes it's Taco Bell. Hey, Bronco, I keep hearing Ilhan Omar staged this attack. What say you? I don't know yet. I do know that he got charged with federal charges. And so if this one was some paid thing, and I suspect it was, don't get me wrong. If it was, it's probably going to come out now. He would have skated on all the charges if it was just state and local charges. But now that it's federal, uh-oh. Now he may say, wait a minute, they paid me to do this. It'll all come out in the end. You know what else is coming out? The results from Relief Factor. People are talking about it. Go look. go look up Relief Factor's reviews. I want you to go look it up yourself. I'm not trying to sell you snake oil. Relief Factor has over 1 million customers. How could that possibly be? It's a supplement. When you start taking away people's pain, you know what they do? They tell their friends. That's what happens. That's why they have over 1 million customers. Because people who've had their back pain disappear, they tell somebody, oh, you got back pain? Call Relief Factor. Oh, your knee hurts all the time? Call Relief Factor. It is a 100% drug-free supplement that you take every day. The longer you take it, the better it works. Every day, the pain goes down a little and down a little. Just try it. 3 weeks is $19.95. Try it. ReliefFactor.com or 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.